Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Talking tonight and for the next few Wednesdays on Living as Strangers. This is a series, a biopic on the life of Abraham. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it takes faith. Now somebody just shout, faith has me living risky. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I love preaching on faith, but the master of preaching on faith is sitting right here to my left, Bishop Fender. 90% of his messages will be on faith, and there is no greater faith preacher. So I will do my best, but I believe that God has given me a word for this church about faith. Remember that whether you've been attending Living Way for 40 years or maybe you've just been coming for 4 weeks and you've just given your life to Jesus, realize that faith is a muscle that needs to be exercised. That it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, there's always more faith to get and stronger that we can become in faith. And so in this series, we will talk about that the best things in life, they take faith. That there's a difference, and Abraham proves the difference between being alone and being lonely. If you're going to walk the road of faith, most of the time in your life, you are going to walk alone. Well, Pastor, what about Living Way? You and I are only here a couple hours a week. When you go to your job tomorrow, you are probably the most faith-filled person employed there. When you go to school, you're probably the most faith-filled freshman in that high school. And so we have to understand that if we are going to live a life of faith, if we are going to be followers of Jesus, if we are going to stand on his word and declare faith, it is going to be a lonely road, but that's all right. Remember, eagles soar by themselves while there's hundreds of chickens pecking in the barnyard. We'll talk about the promise of faith. There's a great promise that comes with faith. And a lot of times we look at faith and the promise it produces as things that God can give us. But Abraham, who builds this great foundation of faith, shows us that it's not just things that God gives you, but faith is literally a place that God wants you to live. Faith is not just something you say and do, but faith is a place that you can inhabit. You look at great men and women of old in the Word of God. You look at great men and women here on this earth, and it seems like they're living at a different level. They've just got stronger in their faith, and I've got good news for everyone in the room and online tonight. You can get more faith tonight. You can get stronger in your faith tonight. You can move mountains tonight. You can say to the tree, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. Faith works when people work the word. We look at Abraham's life, or when we hear his name, we automatically have thoughts of grandeur when it comes to his faith, because he has nicknames like the father of faith. Even in the Old Testament, over and over again, it declares him as declares Jehovah as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But our beginning text tonight in Hebrews, if you didn't know where Abraham started and you didn't know Abraham's story, Hebrews just tells us the high points. In our initial text, it talks about Abraham's faith, talks about his obedience, it talks about his trust, but it doesn't mention his doubt. I'm talking to people that are doubting here in the middle of 2023, and I'm going to tell you it's time to doubt doubt, it's time to starve doubt, and it's time to feed your faith, because God has something that is relying on your faith, and as much as your flesh wants to say no, God's word is saying yes. But we don't hear about Abraham's doubt in Hebrews 11. We don't hear about his fear. We don't hear about his deception. We don't hear about, here's a big one, we don't hear about his impatience. You know, the war that battles on in the Middle East right now is because Abraham got impatient with the promise of God. I am here to remind us believers that if God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. I hope it takes 5 seconds, but if it takes 5 years, I'm going to get up at the crack of dawn every day believing that this is the day, this is the time, and that what God said, He is going to bring it to pass in my life. Abraham did not start out as a stalwart of faith, but he completes his life in the hall of faith. All of Hebrews 11 is by faith, and it talks about the ridiculously amazing things that men and women accomplish by Christ Jesus and their faith in Christ. But none of the hall of faith, the building that holds the hall of faith, would not even be there if it had not been for the father of faith called Abraham. But he didn't start that way, but he ended in the hall of faith. And he spent his life building a platform and foundation of faith for every believer after him to stand on and believe in faith for bigger and better. Every day you pray, you are operating in faith. And every day we pray, every prayer we pray, every time we worship, we are operating or should be operating in faith. Well, Pastor, it doesn't seem like my prayers work. Are they prayers of faith? Well, it doesn't seem like worship works for me like it works for someone else. Are you worshiping in faith? Tithing didn't work for me. Are you giving in faith? Because when faith is your foundation, every weapon that God has given you is going to work. Let me say that again. When faith is your foundation, every weapon that God gives you is going to work. That means as faith, when you stand on faith and you declare the promises of God and we declare the word of God, those things must come to pass. Somebody say bigger and better. So let's start this faith journey. Let's start the faith process. Many years ago in Philadelphia, when their basketball team has been struggling for many years, Joel Embiid got there, and they had 3 or 4 first round draft picks in the top, I think it was 10, and Joel said, this is not going to happen overnight. And can I just preach to the Spurs fans for just a couple minutes here? Please don't put all this pressure on this 19-year-old from France. Let him develop, and let's look at it in 5 or 6 years. We're not going to win a championship in 2024. You say, Pastor Brandon, have faith. My faith is working in more important things than the Spurs winning more championships. But Joel said this. He said, trust the process. He said, there's going to be some bumps on this road of growth. There's going to be some times when it doesn't make sense. It's going to look like some times where we've taken 1 step forward and 2 steps back. Can I encourage somebody in the room today that is struggling in your faith today? Trust the process, but most importantly, trust the promise and the promise keeper. That if God said it, then it is going to happen. And it doesn't all have to happen tomorrow. And it doesn't all have to make sense. And sometimes in June, you're going to be fighting through it. In July, you might be pushed back a step. But I can promise you, if your faith and hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, what He promised, you are going to see. Somebody say, trust the process. So let's see what Jesus said about faith to begin. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering His disciples, He said unto them 4 words that will change your life. Have faith in God. Jesus is God. He's looking at believers and disciples and followers, and He's saying these 4 words, have faith in God. Have faith in what God has said. Have faith in what God has done. Why does Jesus have this conversation? Jesus is walking into Jerusalem. He walks by a fig tree that should have figs on it. The leaves are beautiful, very green. He's hungry. He wants a fig. It's in the middle of fig season. Pulls back the leaf, and there's no figs on the tree. What does Jesus do? He curses the fig tree. He said, no one will ever eat from this fig tree again. They go into Jerusalem, handle business. On the way out of Jerusalem, they pass by the same fig tree. And guess what the fig tree looks like? It is withered and died. One of the disciples says, Jesus, This is the fig tree that you cursed. Jesus said, I know it's the fig tree that I cursed. The disciple says, look, it doesn't have any fruit on it. Jesus said, I know it doesn't have fruit on it because my word always works. So when he says, have faith in God, he wasn't just talking about a miracle of healing, a miracle of resurrection, a miracle of evil spirits being cast out. What he's saying is it doesn't matter if we're talking about figs, resurrections, or hurricane, when the word of God is put out there, whatever it is put out there on, it has to bow to the power of the word of God. Which leads me to this question, church. How much word do you know? Not read, not listen to. How much do you know? If the Bible was outlawed tomorrow and you couldn't have the physical canon scripture in your, that's why David would say, I hide the word of God in my heart, because just reading it doesn't keep me from sinning. Hiding the word of God in my heart so that I will not sin against God. Jesus makes this very simple declaration when he says, don't be surprised that my word works. I curse the fig tree. It's dead today. Let's move on. And when the disciples are standing there, he looks back at them and says, have faith in God. I know those four words aren't going to make anyone run the aisle tonight. I know those four words you might not even write down in your journal tonight. But if I could preach tonight just on those four words will revolutionize your life. They will revolutionize your eternity. They will revolutionize your now. You don't have a money problem. You have a faith problem. You don't have relationships problem. You have a faith problem. You don't have a raising child problem, you have a faith problem. You don't have a sick body problem, you have a faith problem. You say, man, that puts it all on me. Oh, it does put it all on you, because by his stripes, we are already healed. The devil is already a defeated foe. If the devil is already defeated and God has already been glorified, then the responsibility on building faith, declaring faith, standing in faith is on us. Have faith in God. Pastor, can I talk to you for about an hour and get some counseling? Have faith in God. I just saved both of us an hour. Well, I need to know exactly what to do. Oh, we can get to the practical, but before we ever get to the practical, church, we must be able to stand in faith on the spiritual, that my faith in God is going to be the foundation. I can use practicality. I can use those seven steps, but unless it's on the word of God, nothing will work. People call us every month, and the Greens can tell you, we would like counseling. We're having trouble in our marriage, and we offer that counseling for those that are committed here at Living Way Church. But one thing we will not do is we will not counsel one member of that marriage without the other one being there, because we're hearing half the story. When we counsel, we're not on her side or his side. We're on the marriage that God put together side. But first and foremost, before we can ever give practical steps on how to talk to one another and how to treat one another, we have to know, do you have faith in God that brought this thing together, that you stood in front of God and man and declared, do you have enough faith for the spiritual that the practical can work? And this is what I found, church. Not that the practical is not important, but what I found is when I'm healthy, spiritual, I don't need as much practicality, because the spirit can do things in 10 seconds that therapy will take 10 months to do. That's why I would encourage you on these Wednesday nights, don't just come to sing a couple songs and keep checking your watch when the preacher's going to be over. Come with your note app open on your phone. Come with a blank page journal so you can write down what God is saying. Someone lifted up their journal. God bless you back there. Why? Because they're here to have their faith built up in God, so that when hell comes against them, when news comes against them that is contrary to the word of God, they can say, that's not what the word of God said about me and my family and my future. Jesus said, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, you're going to like this. For verily I say unto you, this is Jesus, whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, Check this out. And shall not doubt in his heart. I'm going to tell you one of the most disappointing things as a believer is to see the faith move here. And then immediately the enemy comes to steal that word and doubt is waiting in the parking lot. I have no doubt, no pun intended, that your faith is not strong right here in this moment. I have no question that your faith doesn't surge in these moments where God shows up and the Spirit of God is moving on the inside and you feel like I can overcome, I will overcome, only to get out in the parking lot and have someone text you on the way home. He says, remember this, have faith in God. You can speak to the mountain to be removed, but he said you must speak, have faith, and doubt not. The first two are where we've got it in spades, but it's that third one. I'll be honest, I can't watch Fox News and not doubt. I can't watch CNN and fill my mind with all of that meaningless dribble and not have doubt sitting on the edge of my bed when I wake up in the morning. I'm here to encourage somebody tonight. When you get a faith move and you get a word from God, you've got to protect that seed against everything that is trying to steal it. Sometimes it's family members. Sometimes it's your own mind. Sometimes it's the people we run around with. Sometimes it's the news, and sometimes it's just the devil himself trying to bring one drop of doubt that is going to pollute what God has started in your life. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he had said shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. So here is the question. Where is your faith? How much are you saying? And why are you still doubting? I have faith. Faith has never been my problem. I know how to work my mouth. Talking, never been my problem. You know what my issue is? Is one drop of doubt undoing my faith and undoing what I declare. God, you will heal me. I know by your stripes I am healed. And then you go to the doctor's office and the report is not lined up with Jesus yet physically, and it's already been done spiritually. And you'll say, man, I wonder if what happened in that altar really happened. Doubt. You'll have someone say, you really went down to that church and let them pray for you. You know, that's just emotionalism. Doubt. Well, I went to a church one time and they said this and this happened. And doubt. Have a Jesus moment, a faith word dropped on you. Watch the news that night, doubt. Talk to the wrong friend, doubt. And it just takes one drop of doubt to pollute the ocean of faith. I love Living Way because we are a faith church, but we only get you 3 hours a week, 165 hours. The rest of the week, you've got to protect your faith. Therefore, I say, verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus declares that faith is the foundation of prayer. That is why Jesus would say there should not be vain repetition in your prayer. Say, what's vain repetition? Our Catholic counterparts have perfected it. They memorize words that they can speak here that they don't believe here. I don't want to speak it here unless it is founded here. The Bible says, and we probably won't get to it tonight, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I get it here, and I get it here. So when I speak it here, things actually start shifting and moving. If you are saying something and you are not seeing results, church, it simply comes down to this. They're not lined up with what God has said. Because God said, if you say to the mountain, move. And you believe and doubt not, that mountain will move. And then he said, in prayer, whatever you pray in faith, you shall receive. Jesus declares that faith is the foundation of prayer. Can I encourage you? Let's take our prayer to new levels for the next 6.5 months of this year. Let's take our family in new levels by praying the prayer of faith and getting a foundation of faith. This is what I believe. This is why I believe, and this is who I put my trust in, Jesus. And so my faith is now my foundation. You know why faith is my foundation? Because my faith is in Christ, and he has never let me down. Never lost a battle. He's not starting with you and yours. He's not starting with your health. He's not starting with your money. He's not starting with your marriage. What God has said is going to come to pass. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. It almost seems like when you read the context of Mark chapter 11 in its entirety, it almost seems like Jesus is all over the place. Before we even get to the have faith in God, you know what Jesus had just finished doing? Clearing the temple. Why did he clear the temple? He cleared the temple, we think, because it was a prayer issue. But if faith is the foundation for prayer, he really cleared the temple because there was a faith issue. He said, how dare you meet in my house and not have faith? If you meet in my house and you don't exhibit faith, you're making me look bad, like I haven't come through on what I promised. And so the Bible says he runs them out with a whip, turns over tables, throws money, gets everybody out. And he said, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Why? Because you have brought people into the house and you've given something they could buy with coin, but you have made them not able to receive what they should be able to get for faith. You've made my house an exchange of money, of things, of merchandise. I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you ever buy a Living Way t-shirt, come to Living Way. I want you to tithe and give because there's blessing in it and it's a command of God. But if you never give a penny at Living Way, this is your church. This is a place for you to be. This is a place for you to grow. And I believe if you grow long enough here, you'll start giving and you'll start tithing. But Jesus said, you have made my church a place that does not have faith because there's no prayer. And if there's no prayer, there's no faith. He stood there, verse 25, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, come on, church. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. First thing Jesus does, he says, faith is a foundation of prayer. Second thing he says, faith is a foundation of forgiveness. Here's a hard truth, church. If you don't forgive, it's not a lack of personality, it's a lack of faith. Because if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that God forgave us of all that we've done, and you can't look across the aisle, you're estranged from family because of something they said or something they did. And Jesus said, no. If you're going to be a person of faith, then you are going to be able to have to forgive because faith is the whole basis. I stand here today. You sit here today redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? We were messed up. We were dirty. We made mistakes, but Jesus loved us so much that he said, I forgive you. And the reason we are excited about going to a place called heaven is we really believe that we stand forgiven. I know sometimes the devil wants to take you back. I know sometimes the devil wants to remind you of who you used to be, but I want to encourage you today and remind you, Jesus loved you so much that he stretched out on a cross and forgave you because of that love. And if you have enough faith to believe that to go to heaven, then we should have enough faith to say, say, hey, you're forgiven for what you did to me. You're forgiven for what you said about me. You're forgiven for how you came at me. I'm not going to live under that weight, and I don't want you to either. I'm a faith-filled man, and so I pray, but I'm a faith-filled man, and so I forgive. Say, what does this have to do with Abraham? We're going to get there. But Abraham set this foundation, and now Jesus is teaching this foundation to his disciples. You thought Mark 11 was about prayer. You thought Mark 11 was about forgiveness. No, it was about faith. You remember when your parents, if you had siblings, would make you apologize? Apologize to your brother. I'm sorry. And then they would literally say, no, say it like you mean it. When it really doesn't matter if it's just coming from here and it's not coming from here. Your prayers, Pastor, my prayers just don't seem to work. Are you praying from a place of faith? Or are you praying from a place of greed? Are you praying from a place of faith? Or are you praying from a place of want? Are you praying from a place of faith? Or are you praying from a place of your will and not his? I want to encourage you, every time you pray, whether it's a 5-second prayer or a 50-minute prayer, you got to get your mind right, your heart right, and your mouth right, all moving together. Why? So that you can speak to the mountain, so that you can declare it in faith and make sure that there is no doubt in your heart. That is when the sick will get out of their beds. That is when, amen, praise God. That is when you can stand on your feet. That's when the sick will get out of their beds. That's when marriages will be put back together. That's when strength will come into your weak body. That's when God's plan will overtake your plan, when you operate from a place of faith. I've been guilty of praying prayers just to pray. Well, I haven't prayed today. Let me pray real quick. God, I pray that you bless Living Way. I pray that you bless my family. Lord, bless everything Mandy touches. Lord, bless every, keep a hedge of protection around them. See, I've heard all of this so much that if I'm not careful, they're just words. Does that mean anything to anybody? I talk to Mandy 10 or 12 times a day, and I use this illustration all the time, 10 or 12 times a day. She's a texter. I'm a texter, but if I'm in my truck, I'll talk all day long on the phone. So I'll call her, and I'll ask her, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing this, this, and this. It doesn't matter if there's 5 hours between a call or 5 minutes. David, the next time I call her, what are you doing? Well, I'm just doing this. What are you doing? Well, this is what I'm doing. At the end of every call, I love you. I love you too. Bye. But we've said it so much in 20 years. 20 years times 365 days times 10 to 12 times a day. Do the math. It's a big number, y'all. Every once in a while, I can tell I'm saying it and she's saying it out of habit. And so one of us will call again. Hey, you know I really do love you. Yeah, I know I love you too. All right, love you, bye, bye. Can I encourage you with your prayers? Don't just throw words at the heavens. Don't just throw words God's way. But remember, to have faith in God, it's going to show up in your prayer life. And whether you're bended knee at your living room couch, whether you're at an altar Living Way, whether you're in ICU at SAMC, when you pray, talk to God in faith. Doubt not, believe only.